Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking a little Tennessee Vols before they play Virginia in their season opener coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Real good, guys. How y'all doing?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Adam, what's your sense of the way Josh Heupel's, I guess, feel for this team now that fall camp is behind Tennessee? They're opening up against Virginia on Saturday, because, you know, in watching his media availability and some of the comments around the program, it feels like Heupel is very confident in this group heading into the year. What do you make of where this coaching staff feels about where the program is right now?
I guess it depends on which day you ask me. Right now, I do think he sounds confident. Calm maybe is the word. Now, if you asked me that last week, I thought he looked a little uneasy, and maybe that's because of what was in the background, and the Cooper Mays injury was still in the background. I don't think Cooper Mays plays this game. They haven't said officially, but I think there's a little uneasiness about how they're going to be on the offensive line. And I that's probably my biggest curiosity, just aside from seeing how good the offense is going to be. That's my biggest curiosity of this game, whether or not they can fill his position and maybe for long term. And I do think internally they're wondering the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's an important player. I think a big question, it sounds like John Campbell from Miami is maybe an upgrade at left tackle. That's the hope, right? If that's the case, then you feel good about the other guys moving to the right side. But obviously the interior has got to be sound. Adam, fantastic story about Joe Milton. For people who haven't read it, I guess, give us a quick recap of you know, the sort of what you wrote about there. But also just with Joe Milton right now, how do you feel about where he is and what we're about to see from Joe Milton?
Well, the story is I wanted to do something in his background. You know, I've had some features on Hendon Hooker the last couple of years. So I wanted to introduce something that was off the field about Joe Milton. Even though he's been around forever, we kind of don't know him, maybe at least in this way. I had heard that Joe had lost his sister when she was a child. And then I had found out at some point after the Orange Bowl that he had lost his great-grandmother. She helped raise him. He lived part of his childhood with her in Pahokee, Florida. And I got him into a room last week, Joe, and I asked him about it. And I knew those two facts, but then when I started asking about them, he said, my sister died prematurely. She only lived 3 days when he was 7 years old. And he told me, like, how him and his mom both had told me sort of how stern he was at that funeral. He thought he needed to be that way for his siblings, even though he was only 7 years old. And then I asked him about his great-grandmother, who died right after the Orange Bowl, when he won the MVP at the Orange Bowl a few months ago. And he said, yeah, and that's the first funeral I had been to since my baby sister's funeral 16 years earlier. And that immediately took me into a line of questioning of why. If you were so composed at the first funeral, why could you not go back? And then we talked about that and how he had to put on a strong face for his siblings, even though that's not how he felt. And then that rolled into a conversation about what a quarterback has to be. You know, no matter how worried you are, how concerned you are, how many mistakes or bad things are happening around you, you got to be the guy that's composed through it all. And that's not a line that I fed him. That's how he sees himself as a quarterback. That's how he sees himself as a big brother. He's the oldest of seven. And that just kind of turned into his story, which, you know, I thought was a pretty unique way for him to tell it. On the field, you know, can Joe be Hendon Hooker? No. I mean, he can be better. He can be worse, but he's going to be different. He can run the ball, but he runs the ball differently. He's also obviously got the cannon for an arm. You know, the thing I think that's maybe people are going to have to get used to the most is that Joe Milton may throw a pick. He might do that. Hendon Hooker, the last 2 years, threw 58 touchdowns and I think 5 interceptions. And so the Tennessee fan base, and us included, we've all gotten accustomed to the idea that the quarterback would not make a single critical mistake in an entire Saturday, and that just doesn't happen anywhere. So, you know, Joe Milton hadn't thrown a pick either. He's thrown 12 touchdowns, no picks in 2 years, mostly as a backup. But we do take for granted, I think, that Hendon just never threw picks. And so Joe may do that. I think he could take more chances with the ball because of his arm strength. But I'll be curious to see how the offense goes, because we could see last year's offense when they were really clicking. We could see the Orange Bowl offense, which was really good but actually stalled more than in other games, or we could see something in between.
Adam Sparks with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Adam, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. What constitutes success? What constitutes a failure for this Tennessee team in your mind this year?
I picked them 9-3, which is like the Citrus Bowl. I could see 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. It'd be hard to see them go beyond that. I mean, obviously, a successful year, if you can get back to 10 wins, a successful year, I think, would be 9 wins and beating either Alabama or Georgia. I think that's a pretty big deal now, since they beat one of them last year. Below that, I think people would see it as a ho-hum year, which says a lot about what Josh Heupel has done here, that you could go possibly 8-4 and be disappointed because until last season, if you look at the past 15 years, 8-4 people would have been pretty happy about. But they've got the roster and what they did last year, that they've got a team that can win most games. I think the difference between now and a couple of years ago is that you now pencil in wins that would be toss-ups a couple of years ago. You know, people just assume they're going to go to Lexington and beat Kentucky. People, and I heard you guys earlier in the show that people are like, well, they'll beat Florida. You know, it's just Florida. Florida's not very good. They'll beat Florida, but they hadn't won in the Swamp in 20 years. And having covered a lot of games at the Swamp, that you should never ever underestimate the Swamp. Whatever you think the line of a game is, that thing shrinks by about a touchdown once you get in there and sort of feel that atmosphere and the humidity and all that. So, you know, I think it really has to go in stages with this team, because there's a lot of unknowns with this team. If you beat Florida in the Swamp, then suddenly you say, okay, well, this team may be as good as next year. If you can beat Alabama or Georgia, then this team may be better than last year. But it's really got to go in stages. And the first stage is getting out of September unscathed.
Who is good in this secondary, Adam?
Danico Slaughter is good.
That's about my answer, too.
That's about where we've landed.
Yeah, I mean, Willie Martinez was asked this question, I think, last week, and I asked him the same question last year. They say they have depth. Well, is depth a lot of bodies, or is it a lot of good bodies, so to speak? And I think it's the first one right now. It may end up being the second one. But, you know, they've had this same question for the last couple of years. They play older guys because older guys aren't going to blow coverages. An older guy may give up a 20-yard pass, but they're not going to give up a 60-yard pass. Well, it's only so many times you can do that, and it adds up. And it added up last year, three or four quarterbacks threw for 400 yards against them. I don't think the only issue is the secondary. I mean, they need linebackers that'd be good in coverage. They've got to fill Byron Young's spot as a pass rusher, but it's a big question with the secondary. And they've got a ton of guys back there. Good enough. They've got so many options. There's a little hope that Gabe Judy Lawley, the BYU transfer that used to play at Vandy, he may help them a little bit. I like that they put Andre Turrentine back at safety with the ones for a lot of camp. Now, a lot of that was because of injuries, but he's an Innsworth guy. He was originally signed at Ohio State, spent a year or two there, was here last year, had not learned the offense yet. Turrentine, though, is a typical guy that they like but won't put out there, because Turrentine is a guy that will take chances, that will get out of position, but he makes big plays, and you'll see them compliment that, but then sort of kind of raise their eyebrows of whether or not they're going to put him on the field. And I think that paints the picture of how they see DBs. Don't be risky at all. We're not asking you to make plays. We're just asking you to not give up as many big plays. And if they give up a lot early in the year, they're going to have this question again.
Adam, Josh Heupel was pretty complimentary of Nico last week and the progress that he's made. What's your sense of Nico, the job that he's done in fall camp, and how ready he is if he's forced into game action this year?
Well, I mean, he will be in game action. I mean, he may be there in the fourth quarter this week. I think certainly he'll play a lot in the Austin Peay game. I think people are going. If you look at Nico, if you're a fan and you expect Nico to come out and look like a future Heisman, he's not going to look like that. If you expect him to come out and make a couple throws, you say, "Wow, I can see some potential there." But then also, he looks like he's like a freshman, and not knowing exactly what's going on and being late on things and misreading things. If you expect that, then you're going to be fine, because of what I've seen, the little bits of practice and then the descriptions of him from coaches and players, he looks like exactly what he is, which is a five-star talent, but also a freshman. And, you know, I would be a little concerned that he's the backup. Now, I think he's really, really good. He's really good. He's better than most backups in college football. But it's if Joe Milton goes down, it's just him. There's not another guy there. And so I would almost be concerned about just their numbers at quarterback. But, you know, that's going to force him onto the field because there's nobody else in front of him except for Milton. So in the long run, it'll be a good thing. But I do think he's going to be up and down once he gets into the game.
Talking to Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel. We've talked about this before, Adam, but now that we're on the cusp of the season, I'm fascinated by, is this going to be another three receiver year? You know, you take your top three and there you go. Because I think Ramel Keaton is very reliable and will be very good this year. But I look at Deontay Thornton and I'm like, man, that guy is electric and has speed like few people do. How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, anytime I've asked Josh Heupel about that, because he's only played three the last 2 years, at least three within a game, he sort of retcons what happened like 2 years ago, and you know, like almost he was forced into playing three guys. But that's what he wants to do: put three guys in the field and play with them as long as you can till you get up by a whole lot, and then fourth, fifth, sixth plays. They say again, this is the third year in a row. They say they're going to play more than three guys. You know, some of that I think probably is right, but I think they just got to find new ways to do it. I mean, you know, you can have Squirrel White out there for the first two drives, and then when you come out for the third drive, you say, "Hey, Squirrel, you stand on the sideline for a minute, and Dante's going to go in there." You know, that's not really that hard to do. It's weird to say that like a receiver will have a special package, because I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I do think they're going to find a way to roll Dante Thornton in there. Now, we've seen the last 2 years, they'll start with three, a fourth guy will get in there by circumstances, and then the original third guy never gets back out there. I think this will work itself out. There'll be an injury. There'll be a guy that maybe just isn't playing well, and his role will be reduced. The good thing is they'll have some blowouts early in the year so they can play more guys. But then I think by the end of the year, I think they'll be back down to three, because that's just where they've ended the last 2 years.
Well, Adam, great stuff as always. Fantastic job on the Joe Milton story. You can check that out at the Knoxville News Sentinel. Awesome stuff. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rexall. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols, including a Joe Rexrode warning to Tennessee fans. We'll get to that coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.